Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. We are missing those who are not here with us, but also happy to have others who have not been here in a while. So thank you for slowly but surely bringing us back. And we do want to say a special prayer for Ruth and for Kathy.
Yes, that you
touched them today. And we thank you for all that they mean to us.
Yes.
And I'm more than happy to make that
happen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Open our hearts today as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I love it when God does this sort of thing. That song that we just heard about being in the Lord's presence is exactly one of the main thrusts of the message today. So, praise God. I love that. That always tells me that that tells me the Lord is behind it, even when sometimes I doubt whether I'm doing the right thing. But I remember, as a little kid, we grew up, particularly as I got a little bit older, we grew up singing a lot of things that came directly out of the Psalms. The little scripture, if you've been around long enough, most of us have, you remember all the songs, that little simple songs, people make fun of them now, that came out of the scripture. Most of them came out of the Psalms. And I still have get into a worshipful attitude by singing those things.
Right.
Now, we don't know, of course, what the original melodies were like. The musical notation wasn't around at that time for us to be able to reproduce exactly what they sounded like. They probably sounded a lot like some of the Middle Eastern music that you might hear. But we certainly have the content. And they're actually, they were meant to be sung, and they contain the most beautiful and wonderful praise to the Lord. They also contain wisdom and instruction, much like many of the hymns that we sing here. They also contain prophecy. You can find things about Jesus within the Psalms, and later you'll see references back so that you can tie them together and see, oh, that was David writing prophetically. And they also contain prayers. Interesting facts, things that I didn't know necessarily about the Psalms. It's another word for the Psalms is the Psalter, P-S-A-L-T-E-R. There are, of course, 150 of the Psalms, but originally there were 147. Psalm 14 and 53 are actually the same Psalm. They're very, very close. 9 and 10 were originally one Psalm, and 42 and 43 were originally one Psalm. There is actually a composition, a sense to the way that the Psalms are put together. You have collections from David that's in 3 to 41, and then 51 to 70, and also 138 to 145. You have Psalms that were by Asaph, one of the king's musicians, and the sons of Korah. Which is interesting. That's a whole other story we'll have to get to sometime. But those are 42 through 50 and 71 through 88. And then there's some other smaller collections that are in there. Talking about God's kingdom in 93 through 100. Psalms of praise, 103 to 107. Psalms of ascent, or pilgrimage might be another word to put that. Where you put that? That's in. I think I meant to say 120 to 135 there. And then what they call the Hallelujah Psalms, 111, 113, and 146 through 150. And there's an organization too, the way they're put together. And you'll actually see this in some of your Bibles. It'll say book 1 at the beginning of 1 through 41. And all but 1 and 2 of those are 1, 2, and 33, rather, are titled Psalms of David. You have book 2 from 42 to 72, rather. And book 3 from 73 to 89. Book 4 from 90 to 106. And book 5 from 107 to 150. And the last verse of each one is very similar in construction. But the first four, they think, were probably added by the scribes. Sort of a sign-off of praise to God. Like in... and they all say something similar. And there's no harm in that, because all they do, every single one of them, is a praise to Yahweh.
Amen.
So we're going to look specifically at Psalm 100. It's called the Psalm of Thanksgiving. In fact, when I saw that, I thought, well, maybe I should wait till Thanksgiving. You know, pastors have to think about these things. You always got to have those special sermons, those special day sermons on tap. I'm like, I will put this one away and save it for later. But I think God wanted me to talk about it today. But it may have been the last of six psalms that were sung as the people were entering into the temple. Or it may also have been sung as part of the thank offering. And verse 4, as we know, my dad came in and kind of talked about this a little bit. Verse 4 has been used as a model for the construction of modern worship. We're going to look more closely at just the truth that are in the words of this, that is in the words of this beautiful song. And I'll talk a little bit more about why we would follow that kind of structure too. But we're just going to look at the psalm. And I'm going to read it from the Lexham English Bible. And it says, "Shout in triumph to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with joy. Come into his presence with exultation. Know that Yahweh, he is God. He made us and we are his. We are the people, we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for Yahweh is good, and his loyal love is forever, and his faithfulness is from generation to generation." Amen.
Amen.
He says, shout in triumph to Yahweh, all the earth. Some New American Standard, for example, will say, shout joyfully. When you look at that word, it's a word for shout, and it acquires meaning a lot of times based on its context. A shout of victory in battle, or a battle cry. Joshua at Jericho is where you see it. Or sounding alarm that somebody's coming in. Or a shout of joy at the temple foundation in the book of Ezra. You can see it used there. And here, either would be appropriate, because after all, triumph is an occasion for joy, and our God will be victorious.
Amen.
Our God is victorious. And it says, all the earth. The implication here seems to be to be that this is not just a song for Israel. Of course, it was written for Israel, written for temple worship. But He is Lord over all the earth.
Amen.
And it says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
So serve Him, it says. Serve Him with joy. With joy.
Yes.
And enter into His presence. Service is part of our worship. We talked some time ago about worship, what worship really is. And part of it is what we do with all of our lives. And so our service to Him is part of our recognition of who He is.
Amen.
Part of our recognition of Him as Lord. And so that becomes part of our worship. Service is part of gratitude. We don't simply thank Him in words. We thank Him with our actions.
Amen.
Our love and our gratitude lead us to joy in pleasing Him. Duty, simple duty, is not sufficient. Jesus tells us that in one place, and I've forgotten the address. I think I didn't write it down in my notes, but in one place He says, well, when you've done everything you're supposed to do, say that we're unworthy servants. We only did what we were supposed to do.
Right.
And I know most of you are parents. How do you feel when you know that your kids are just doing something because you made them do it?
Good.
Or because you expect them to do it. And yeah, good to some degree. But wouldn't you rather them do it because they love you and they want to make you happy?
Yeah, that never happened.
You're going to fix and get slapped in a thing.
Kimmy might slap me.
Thank you.
Maybe it'll be good for me. I won't think of my knee.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, she wouldn't do that because she respects you as her mother.
That's true.
But love demands more, and love gives it gladly.
Amen.
Come into His presence with exaltation. Or, again, some translations say, with joyful singing. Okay. The objective here is to be in His presence. And connected with verse 4 that we'll get to in a minute. As we proceed from the gates into the courts, as we draw closer, we do so with praise, with thanksgiving, and with praise. And there's joy in His presence.
Amen.
And it is my desire, loved ones, it is my desire that all of us are able to experience His presence. And we know that the Holy Spirit is living within us. We know that He's here. But I want to see us get to a place in our hearts where we're able to sense that He's here.
Amen.
And we can do that. And He wants us to do that. He wants us to be that close to Him. I want every one of us to experience that. But He says that Yahweh is God. Your translation may say the Lord is God, but it's Yahweh there. He's the one who made us. Mm-hmm. And we belong to Him. Know that He is God. There is no other. And acknowledging Him for who He is the first step into relationship with Him.
Amen.
He made us, and we belong to Him. Now, a lot of your translations will also fill in, we didn't do it. We didn't make ourselves.
Yeah.
And then you can take that in a couple of different ways. Whereas you're talking about the nation, if you take it in terms of the nation of Israel there, they wouldn't exist were it not for the mighty works that God did to bring them into existence. But also, in a very real sense, unlike what many of the naturalists would have us believe, and unlike the humanists would wish, we didn't just create ourselves. We didn't grow out of nothing. We were created.
Amen.
We were created by Almighty God.
That's true.
And if He is our creator, He's the creator of all things, and thus He retains sovereignty over His creation. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now we take it a little bit deeper. It's not only that He created us, and that thereby He has the right to tell us what we can and cannot do, or he has the right over our lives, but here we get into the idea of relationship, the element of covenant. He is the good shepherd, John 10:11 says. And through Jesus, we too are His people. We belong to Him.
That's right.
And He desires to have a relationship with us. And like that good shepherd, as He said, the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep.
Amen.
Come into His presence. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, acknowledging who He is, now in gratitude for what He has done for us, for our salvation, for His provision, and for the hope that we have in the future. Enter His courts with praise as we draw near, now drawing closer. The outside distractions begin to fall away. They begin to be muted as we get into that place where our focus shifts from all of the things that are going on around us and all the things in our own lives to the magnificence of our Lord.
Amen.
We praise Him for who He is and for what He has done. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. And we are able to keep going. You know, you remember that the drawing of the temple and how it was set up. You know, there's the outer gates and the inner courts, and then you had the holy place and the holy of holies. And that was cut off. Nobody could come in. Nobody could come into that. And if you came into that and you didn't have done everything just right, you would die. They'd keep a rope tied to the high priest in case he messed up somewhere along the line and went in there and died. They could pull him out. It was like somebody else having to go in there. The holiness of God is nothing to be trifled with. But because of what He did, because of the blood that He spilled, that veil on that day when Jesus was crucified got ripped into it. It's a veil of anything. But it got ripped into it. Because that veil is gone now.
Amen.
You can come into the presence, into the very throne room of Almighty God.
That's right. Amen, brother.
His Spirit lives within us.
Amen.
Like we talked about today, like we sang about today. And one day we will be physically in the presence of God.
Amen.
Able to approach the very throne with confidence.
Yes.
There we find grace and mercy. Now, why is that? It's because of what He did. It's because our Lord, the Lord of the universe, the great I Am, Yahweh, is good.
Amen.
And He is forever faithful.
Yes.
Because He is the source of all things. He defines what is good. Sometimes we challenge or We wonder. You get questions from people like, how can a good God do this and so? But the problem there is that we don't get to define what is good. He defines what is good. Now, Satan would love for you to convince you that God is not good.
Yeah.
That, in fact, your standard is better than God's standard, and that God is not really good. But Satan is the father of lies.
That's true.
God is good.
Amen.
And His loyal love, or loving kindness, or mercy, the King James might say, endures forever. I kind of like the term that's used here in this particular version of loyal love. Now, when we think about loyalty, we usually think of it the other way around. We usually think of it as somebody who's in a lesser position, being faithful and loyal to the person that's in the higher position. But here it says that God is faithful that way to us.
Amen.
He loves us.
That's true.
He has gone above and beyond to make sure that we know that and to make sure that we have a way to be with Him. The principle is that God will always keep His promises.
Amen.
And His love never fails.
True.
He is faithful from generation to generation. Or to all generations, some say. He was, and He is, and He will be faithful.
Amen.
He is faithful even when we're not.
That's true.
We talked the other day about that. How He expects us to live that way. To be faithful even when those around us are not. Well, He's not asking us to do something that He hasn't done. He has been faithful even when we have not been faithful. And He's made a way for us to be right with Him. God is worthy of our worship. There is no other but He. He made us, and we belong to Him. He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us, and He cares for us. As a shepherd for his sheep, as a father for his children, and He is always faithful. And we're called to worship Him. We're called to worship Him with exuberance, with joy, with singing, even with shouting, with praying, with instruments, even with dancing. Don't worry, I'm not insisting that you dance. I don't dance. Yeah. I know I'm standing in the Baptist church here saying these things.
Hey,
but
the Bible.
Anything that we would do that comes out of a pure heart, comes out of a heart that desires to worship Him, He accepts. We worship Him through our service. And this, too, with joy. And how do we get there? How do we get there? We get there by reflecting on His goodness, by reflecting on His grace, by reflecting on the mercy that He has shown us. As we come to know His love, and we return it as we are able. And there's not any formula for this. We talked about that some time back. God responds to hearts. But there are certain practices that do help us as we prepare our hearts to come to a place where we're able to enter into. I don't even want to see it that way. It's not quite the same thing. But we talk about entering into His presence. We know that the Holy Spirit is always within us.
Amen.
But there does come a place as we prepare our hearts, as we sing to Him, as we reflect on Him, where our our spirit becomes more in tune with His and more sensitive, and we're able to actually perceive, put it that way, the presence of God.
Amen.
Maybe more accurately, we would put it as becoming aware of His presence. I experienced that this week as I was praying, as I was trying to. One of the things that I will do if I'm lacking inspiration is I'll sit down and I'll just start writing. I write in a journal that a prayer journal has a particular meaning, so I use that term because it's the closest I can come, but it's not so much a prayer journal where you're writing down the things you're praying for and then whether you get answers. It's more of an unbroken... I write my journal as if I'm writing to the Lord. Sort of a written prayer. And so I'll sit down and I'll write and ask Him what I'm supposed to say. And then start thinking about things and writing about what I'm thinking. And I was thinking about worship this week.
Good.
And it occurred to me, well, instead of talking about it, why don't you do it? And so I stopped what I was doing. I found my favorite, my playlist that has my favorite worship songs in it, and I put it on, and I cranked it up, and I just started singing. And before long, I began to feel that. I ended up down on my face just thanking God for something that I had been missing for so long. Mm-hmm. And that is what I desire for all of us here today. We've had people in here before that have done some beautiful things and beautiful worship. But I think that a lot of the reason why some of those things are done has been lost. And a lot of people have just learned how to do the form without understanding the purpose of the form. And the purpose of the form is to help us prepare our hearts to be in a place where we hear from the Lord and experience His presence and be closer to Him. That's why we're doing the things that we do.
Amen.
And I wanted to help you to understand that, because I don't know that it came through with what I did when I asked Dad to come and talk about the process. I want that for us as a church. I want somebody to walk in here and automatically know the Spirit's here.
Right.
The Spirit's here. I don't necessarily need to see crazy manifestations of anything happening, if God can do whatever He wants to do. But so many times, I've said this before, so many times in the church, we go chasing after places God's already been, trying to get Him to do that again. I don't want to be where God's already been. I want to be where He is now.
That's right. Amen.
Let us follow Him. Be where He is now. I think that we can do that by trying some different things in worship, but I'm not trying to recreate the past. I want to hear from Him about what He wants us to do right now. So I hope that you'll walk with me as we explore those paths together. And I thank you for the opportunity. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity. He's not done with us yet. He has allowed us to stay and allowed us to be here for a reason. A lot of churches have closed during the pandemic. Yeah, we're hurting, but we're still here.
That's right.
And by His grace, we're going to continue to be here. So thank you. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you have yet to do. We put our trust in you. We put our faith in you. Yeah, it's been difficult. Things have happened. We're losing people. People have gone on to be with you, and we hurt and we cry, but we know that you are still in control, and you are still God, and you still have a purpose. We're here, we're breathing, we exist. You have a purpose for this church.
That's right.
And we ask you, Lord, to show us the way to complete what you have to be a part of you completing, and that's the best way to put that, what you have started here.
That's right.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.